do you want to take a photo? And so I'm like, no.
Yes.
And
yes.
It's like, I've never felt like a shittier piece of shit.
Totally.
In that moment.
Totally.
I just felt like, what a fucking narcissist I am. They'd be like, you probably want a photo. And they're like, I'm good.
Welcome to the Laura Clary Podcast. It's a podcast with Laura Clary. Welcome to the Laura Clary Podcast.
Hey guys, welcome to the Laura Clary Podcast. Woo! Was that weird?
It was a little weird.
I'm super excited. Part two of Grace Helbig. She's so funny. She's so gorgeous. She's so smart. And you know all this. It's a great episode. Part two. I had to split it into two because we talked for so long. I love her. And I love you. Enjoy.
So when did you start your podcast at that time?
I started it around like 5 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Like right when I moved out here.
Right, okay.
Yeah, and we started it at the YouTube space. I had met Jack Ferry, who works on it with me.
Right.
He and I met through my Mydam channel. He was working with them, and then because they had this live show that they had sold to like YouTube Premium, and he was doing like the TriCaster for that, and that's how we met, and we both realized that we grew up really close to each other in South Jersey, and so we're both home for the holidays over Christmas and being like, do you want to get a drink? I don't want to hang out with my parents anymore.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, hung out, and I was like, I have this idea kind of for like a podcast. And he's like, I know how to do all that audio stuff. Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
And so it's also like surrounding yourself with people that are like doers.
Yeah,
totally.
A lot of times you can get bogged down in like saying your idea and feeling like that's enough and never executing it.
Yeah.
And so that's been helpful because I'm not as good in that area. So having someone else, it's like, I know how to get all the equipment. I know how to do all of this. And I'm like, cool. That would have been the part that held me back by myself.
Oh my God. Sure. Yeah. And like, so, I mean, Steven's great with it. And then like, we have a producer who, like uploads it and edits and all of that.
Yeah.
And it's like, just like delegating has been a huge thing, right? Because like I was so bad at it for so long. I was like, no, I'm going to do everything all the time.
And
it's like, just like letting people
when you
do
are
shit.
Your own brand. Yeah. When you are like your own boss and you're the head of your own company
right.
and it's reflective of you.
Right.
Ultimately. Then I think a lot of content creators are a lot of type A personalities that want to have like some control issues maybe.
Right.
Totally.
And delegating was a huge thing for me to learn how to do, and also asking questions when I didn't know how to do something instead of just like trying to figure it out by myself.
No, you can't seem stupid.
Oh,
you
exactly.
Like, no.
Right. That's not allowed.
Even though you have a shirt that says idiot on it, you can't seem stupid.
No, not at all. You can't. You gotta seem like you can do it all. And I have such basic knowledge in the tech side of things.
Right.
And even just delegating to someone that can edit my videos is always a tough thing for
me.
And
so do you do that?
Only occasionally.
Yeah.
I get a little embarrassed about delegating because a lot of times it's just me riffing. And when I sit down and edit, that's when I figure out like, what is this video? How can I tweak this? So to give just like 20 minutes of nonsense to
but
an editor.
But have you done that?
I have.
What did you think of?
Yeah. It's worked out before. I have a friend, Brian Gramo, who worked on a lot of stuff. We did a couple of films, and he did like the BTS of us like shooting the movies.
Yeah.
And he did a really, really amazing job. And he like totally got my style down and like figured that all out, which was really great. I haven't like got ahead of myself in like pre-shooting videos enough to like give it to an editor.
Yeah.
I always find that it'll be last minute. Like, oh, here's an idea. I'll post this tomorrow.
Yeah, that's what we do.
Which is nice when you have all the resources to do that. It's like, I keep saying in my head, eventually I'll get on like a schedule ahead of time for myself that I can have that system.
We've
of
tried
like,
that so many
isn't
times.
It hard?
It is hard. I mean, like,
oh my God.
Right,
I'm sure
now
we could do
it's
it,
like, but yeah, it's like posting every like Wednesday and Saturday. But like even like just introducing the midweek video has been like crazy and like you wanna and then but I like
you're making content for Facebook, but then you do like cut downs that you put on your Instagram and everything.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. So like
so you're making multiple versions of these videos.
So it's cool because like Facebook is like kind of like, we have a minimum guarantee deal. So like, it's very, you have to post every, you know, and then I like that because or else I would have been like, oh, it's time for a season break. Yeah. Like, I, you know, I don't have any more ideas, but then like, because they ordered 16 episodes, like you just gotta think of something. And so it's cool because you just do.
Yeah.
And so I love that. And then also having that consistency and knowing, like, even if this video doesn't go down well, like, I'm gonna make this, you know. And so that's nice. But then we just introduced like a midweek, which is, you know, like for Facebook, like it has to be 3 minutes plus to monetize. And like, but it's great. And but I like your attitude of like, if I don't, for one reason or another, like, it's not I'm the like, end of the world. Yeah, like,
it's,
you know,
been helpful and a hindrance in certain ways because it's like the general formula for like gaining and keeping an audience is consistency over time.
Yeah.
And I had the same thing when I was with My Damn Channel. I was contractually obligated to make 5 videos a week and upload them at like 10 a.m. every day.
So you just had to do it.
So you just figure it out, like you said, and then you're not as precious about your ideas.
That's true. Totally.
Because you don't, you know that there's just going to be more.
Yeah.
And so then when I stopped working with them, I was like Monday, Wednesday, Friday for a long time. And then I started to just feel my own pressures. And then I also got that like burnout laziness of like, I don't have to do this. And so I'm like in that now, but I know that I want to get back to a more consistent schedule, but I'm just kind of letting myself have permission to be a little bit more free flowing now.
Yeah.
But it does, I think it helps your brain kind of jumpstart out of a rut when you're like, I'm going to be doing this, you know, for this many episodes a week or whatever it is a month.
Yeah.
And seeing how that works for you. I mean, I have friends that operate like Mamrie. It's always, she's never had a schedule on her channel. It's always just been whenever she has an idea and the time to make it. And her audience is super engaged still. And they don't find any like they're lacking in anything with her. And Hannah's gone back and forth on schedules versus non-schedules. So she and I have similar like push pulls with that like attitude. Obviously a schedule's great, especially if you're like wanting to do, if you have a great momentum going.
Totally. And like it also, it's stressful, but it also I think is an anxiety reducer too, because it's like, you know when your post date is, and so like hopefully like, okay, if I could just say this is my shoot date, you know, this is my writing date, this is my rewrite date or whatever, like this is my editing day, and like just having that structure. I think like people with 9-to-5s, like they just like have this structure and it's like and so it's like we have to create that
and maintain it I think that's a huge problem for a lot of digital creators because we have to be self-motivating unless you're really good at that. A lot of times you will, for myself, I'll talk myself out of, you know, necessarily creating that kind of structure, even though inherently I do want that for myself. But there's, I know a lot of really successful people that do have that exact structure. And it's interesting because it's hard because our jobs are technically like 24 hours a day.
Right. So in your like, head at least.
Exactly. When you feel like you're working all the time, you might not need structure, but even I got into a work ethic where I would create at night. Like I kind of like laze around and then make more of my videos or edit more at night. And Brooks, my boyfriend, was just like, what are you doing? Like, let's go out or let's go here. Let's do this. And I'm like, oh, but I have to edit a video still. He's like, what did you do all day? I was like, I thought about editing my video.
Yeah.
I guess that's so I just get creative energy at night. And so it's been nice though, because there are days where like you wake up, you get all your work done, and then you're like, oh, this is how successful people operate. They like get up and do their stuff, and then they have a whole night and they can do whatever they want. So it's all just like personal preference too, and figuring out what schedule works for you.
That's so funny. Yeah, it's like you don't have a boss coming in being like, dude, Grace, it's 6 p.m. You're still in your underwear. Like, what are you doing? I'm thinking about working, okay? And I'm going to get to it.
Yeah,
I'm
soaking in this general anxiety I have about getting my work done eventually.
Right, exactly.
That's the greatest thing is to be able to work from home, but then it's like, oh, now I got to actually work.
Yeah.
Totally.
And
I think like one thing that like helps motivate me, it sounds like a little cheesy, but whatever, I'm super cheesy. Like I like walk down, I do like power walks in the morning, and I force Steven to come with me and do fucking affirmations and shit and gratitude lists and like all of that. So I'm really cheesy, but like it just helps with my mentality. And
Hannah
just
takes walks. That's her go-to.
Oh my God. It's like the best thing ever.
Mm-hmm. We get so many ideas on that walk.
Oh,
Jesus.
It's like, it's something about just like being out. Cause no one walks in LA, and just like, we just walk down the hill and like to this cafe and get breakfast, but it's like a 3 mile walk total. And you just, like make these lists every day of like what you're grateful for, and then sort of and it's really nice. And then just like also you get creative ideas when you're just kind of walking and not on your phone, and just ideas just come all the time.
I find I get a lot of ideas if I run for like stress.
Oh, that's awesome.
And for like idea, because you can't be on your phone,
totally,
you can't do anything, so your brain's just kind of there with you. So it's sometimes helpful for me to do that, which is fun.
And go ahead. Just like viewing, I think like I can get stuck in like, okay, is this gonna do well for me? And I find if I'm in like selfish, self-seeking mode of like, what can I get out of this? I'm like miserable and unhappy, and like it doesn't last. But like if I can view what I do as like give more serving of like, you're creating value, because we forget that like people feel better when they watch you, and like, so it's more viewing it as a service rather than like a what can I get, right?
That's so true, because you do get caught up in that mental loop of like, how is this going to get me views, how is this going to like propel me forward, how is this going to get me known more, all that, when really you think about like, what do you watch or do to get out of your own anxiety? I watch comedy stuff, and
imagine
so
if that
giving
went away.
That gift a break in someone's day, I think, is a really great way to reframe creating.
Yeah
It's true.
I interrupted you.
Oh no, I was saying the same thing about like lists and stuff too. I find, even though it's not totally necessary, I make to-do lists every day with even just mundane things on them, of like walk my dog, which I know I have to do every day anyway, but just like the idea, like the physicality of just crossing something off feels accomplishing.
Totally.
And so now you have like this fun gamified version of your work set out for you for the day. Like, how many of these can you get done?
Which I love that.
I think is like super helpful. There's also, have you guys ever heard of Headspace?
I've heard of it. It's the app.
It's really great. It's, and I should use it more consistently, but it's like a meditation app. Yeah. And it's a daily thing. And it's a guy that sounds much like you. His name's Andy. He's got a beautiful voice. And it's very calming and soothing. And it's like a guided meditation. So a lot of people get very dissuaded by meditation because they just feel like they can't do it.
I'm all about it.
And so, he talks you through it. And then it's almost gamified in a way, too, that you like move up every day, and it'll tell you.
That's cool.
And it does little, it's got little like animations in there, and he's just very.
So it's just this dude?
It's just this dude. And I think the more you do it, cause this is how inconsistent I am with it, that I haven't gotten up in more than 3 consecutive days. That he starts talking less and less, so that you become, it kind of like slowly eases you into your own meditation.
That's cool.
Yeah. So it's creating this habit really. And it's just nice, cause it's a moment that you're not on your phone, and it's just very peaceful and calming. And I mean, people love meditation. I used to do it way more, but I find that my, because I'm like so dialed into my phone, I'm so much more impatient sitting with myself.
Like when you wake up, like do you take your, like do you grab your phone when you wake up and check?
Like we said, half the time I'm like already been into my phone before I realize that I'm even like looking
at my
phone.
Isn't that crazy?
It's nuts.
Like literally it was like 3 days no social media. I would wake up, I'd hear the waves crashing.
That's so nice.
And then I fucking meditate, and I was zen as fuck. And then I come back, and like literally the first night here, I wake up and I'm like, check, like, back. No, did this do nothing? No, like, why am I back already? I haven't progressed at all.
It's a balance. It's a balance.
It is. Yeah. But there, there's one called Insight Timer, which is, I think it's Insight Timer. Did I just make that up? Insight Timer. Yeah. Uh-huh. And they have like, it's a meditation app too, and I'm kind of obsessed with it. And they have like, so you go to meditation, and then it's like, how much time do you have? 0 to 5, 6 to 10. And then like,
oh, wow.
And then you can pick like what type, like, okay, so sleep. So if you can't sleep, if there's something there. Recovery, healing, stress, anxiety, oh, happiness. So
different types. Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
And I love that because it's like whatever I feel like I need more of or
that's great.
Less of. Like
insight timer?
Insight timer.
Okay, I'll have to get that.
They could have done better with the name, you know?
Yeah.
They could have done better with the name.
Insight timer.
But also, I asked Instagram what they want to know from you, and there's so many questions.
Oh, cool.
And you're going to answer all of them.
Great. I have 12 hours.
Yeah, great. Okay, perfect.
Be 13 hours.
No, so I'll just pick a couple. Let me just go to it now.
Cool.
Yeah. So let's motherfucking read these things. I have to swear less. Do you swear a lot? You don't really swear that much.
I swear a lot on my podcast.
You do?
Yeah, okay. Because I feel like podcasts, I bleep out swears in my YouTube videos. I have since
you
day
have
one.
To, right?
I don't have to, no. I think I'm one of the rare people that do. I just thought it was funnier bleeped than like people saying fuck.
But won't they demonetize?
No. I mean, there's tons of people that like, I don't think, Jenna Marbles, I don't think has ever bleeped out any of her videos. Mamrie hasn't that I know of.
Stop.
And, yeah, I just always thought when
like,
I first started making...
You can say fuck and monetize your video?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought...
You can't do that on Facebook.
Really?
No.
I'm pretty sure you can. I just always thought it sounded funnier.
It is. Bleeps are funny.
Bleeps
are funny.
I think they're really funny.
They're really funny.
Especially when you can't tell what they actually said. Yeah. Yeah.
So totally.
Yeah.
Now been like innate in me making videos.
Yeah.
Sometimes we put bleeps where the aren't swear words.
Yeah, so, yeah, I love that.
Funny. Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. There's
no worries.
I should have like pre-picked these. Wait, I did. Oh, okay. Sutton Presley, 2003.
Ooh, what a year.
Damn, Sutton. Were you born then?
Probably.
Weird. Like weird.
Super weird.
What was your first kiss like?
16, 17.
What was my first kiss like?
Yeah.
I think it was pretty lame. I feel like it happened in like fourth grade or sixth grade, playing truth or dare with a bunch of friends, like after school, waiting for like our parents to pick us up. And I was with this kid, his name was Lindsay, and he was a boy. And I just remember being awkward, which is, I guess, par for the course. I don't remember much else about it.
Yeah. It's, totally. What was your first kiss, Steven?
It's Claire Pennell.
And that's all I'll say.
That's all I'm going to say.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Okay, this guy has some really good questions. He asked you 12.
Oh,
so,
cool.
Sam Sean says, the internet, freedom or slavery?
Mm. Oh, interesting. I feel like we kind of talked about being a little bit of both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think
totally.
I like to think of it more as freedom.
Yeah.
I think that's a healthier way to look at it. But yeah, it is interesting because I always think about the audience as like my friend group in a way, but they're also like my boss in a way,
right?
Which is interesting.
Wow.
And sometimes toxic to think that way, because I feel like you have a better relationship with them when you consider them like your group of friends that you're talking to and wanting to show things that are funny and wanting to make laugh. But also respecting them like a boss, like respecting them like you would respect your boss in a normal work environment, and like giving them content that they want and doing that sort of thing.
Wow.
Yeah. Good way to look at it.
So it's a little bit of both. Yeah.
Interesting. Do you like, how do you, when people come up to you on the street, like what is that experience like for you? It's been happening for a long time now. Like, is it still weird or are you just like, it's totally like, this is my life?
It's very sweet. I find myself having to like check myself a bit because it's happened before in the past. If I think someone's looking at me, not automatically assuming they must know my videos, they're gonna come say hi and it's gonna be like, excuse me, you're standing in front of me.
It's always that. It's when you think you know.
I always have a passing thought that I'm like, shut up, inner monologue, like get over yourself. But it's always really, really nice. I think the audience that's been cultivated are all like very sweet, mostly female.
It's like your audience.
Yeah, like teenagers and 20-somethings that are always just very, very nice. I haven't necessarily had a bad experience with that.
Totally. Yeah, I'd agree. But it's funny, like when you think they know, when you're sure they know, like this waitress was like really smiley with us and she's like, dessert's in the house.
And
I was like, oh, that's so sweet. Gave her the little wink like she's a fan, but she doesn't want to say thank you so much for the dessert.
Funny.
And then we went back to that restaurant the next day. She didn't say like she was a fan. She was like, dessert's on us, with that like look. And I was like, I know what's happening here. Yeah. And then the next day we went back and like the next table over, she was like, dessert's on us. And I was like, we both looked at each other.
She had no fucking idea. I don't know if you've had this where people come up and they're really nice, sometimes very awkward and a little like nervous.
Yeah.
Shy. Oh, yeah. And so I've been like, do you want to take a photo? And sometimes people are like, yes, oh my God. Yeah. And I've had before been like, do you want to take a photo? And somebody like, no.
Yes.
And
yes.
It's like, I've never felt like a shittier piece of shit.
Totally.
In that moment.
Totally.
I just felt like, what a fucking narcissist I am. They'd be like, you probably want a photo. And they're like, I'm good.
Oh my God. Yes. That's happened. It's like, it's so weird. It's like, I'm trying to convince my family that people know who I am. Yeah. And like, so like literally like we'll be with my family and it's then like crazy. The second they go back, they leave to like their hotel room or wherever, like a fucking like group of people comes up like, yeah, Laura. But like before that, nothing. Finally, we're in a store and we're with my sister and I was like, yeah. And someone came up to me and she was over there and she was like, hi, I just want to say hi. I think you're great. And that's when I was like, do you want to take a photo? Like, let's take a photo, like make a big deal. She was like, I'm good. Like, I'm good. And like, so totally cringy. Missed it. Like once again, like I'm
it
good.
It is like the cringiest.
She was like, I'm good, but my uncle likes it or something like that. Like her so uncle weird. likes me.
Yeah, this girl, I got off a flight once at LAX and Brooks and I were walking through and I was so hungry that I was like, can we just grab a sandwich on the way out? And this girl walks past me and she just like looks at me and like literally does a very obvious double take.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah.
I was like, that's a cartoon character that just did that. Yeah. And so, and she's like perfectly in the demo of like, would watch a YouTube video.
Yes, totally.
And so we're waiting in line and she just kind of like gets in line behind us, but she clearly wasn't gonna get a sandwich or anything, and I'm just kind of like waiting for the moment to happen that she's gonna say it. And she just finally goes, hi, do I know you? And I was like, I don't know, do you? And she's like, do you make like videos? I was like, sometimes. She's like, okay, can I take a photo with you?
Oh my
and I was
God.
Like, sure. And she's like, okay, and then left. And then I was like, she does not know who I am at all.
Yeah.
But she just has some inkling that maybe, I thought that was so weird just to be like, who are you? Can I have a photo of you?
That's
I was like,
really funny.
She's sweet though.
Yeah, there's definitely that. And I noticed that with like younger people, they're less likely to want to like, not all of them, but like kids, like 12, 14, it's very much about like the proof.
Just the proof.
And like, even if they don't follow you,
but
they know who you are, or they know that you're famous. Yeah, it's about the proof and like having the picture, and then they like run off.
Oh,
and you're just like,
but do you want to talk?
Yeah. Like, okay. IDK LOL says, why are you so amazing?
Oh, wow.
Answer. Why?
I have no idea.
We want to know why.
No idea.
And then there was like some other really good ones in here.
Cool.
Okay. Let's see. Hold on.
I like your nails, by the way.
Oh, are you? Stop it. They're so chipped and.
They look great. They have nail polish on them. To me, that's just enough.
Okay, thank you. I know, right? I'm so like bad at just keeping up with girl shit.
My nails are disgusting.
Dude, how do you girl?
That's the question I ask myself every day.
Okay, here's what drives you up the wall.
What drives me up the wall?
Yeah.
It's an English expression.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Is it? Do you say
I mean, there's probably so many things.
We don't use that, I don't think, like super colloquially, but I've heard that phrase before.
Oh, yeah. That's what my mom would say.
I don't like when people are mean.
Yeah.
I don't like mean-spirited people.
Mm. Yeah.
I also don't like when people don't include other people.
Like clicky.
Yeah. Right. And also like when people, you know, when you go to a party and like, I don't know, for some reason, I guess I've always like been aware of the people that feel not comfortable or feel like out, because I often feel like that. So I'm like more trying to give attention to someone that maybe doesn't feel like they stand out in that moment.
Yeah.
And so I hate people that are completely unaware of that happening and make someone like feel bad in some way.
Yeah, like they're not perceptive.
Yeah.
Like people who are just oblivious.
Yeah. When people aren't self-aware.
That's it. That's annoying.
Yeah, I think
that's annoying.
Yeah, and I feel like that's a lot of what Logan Paul exudes to a lot of people is like a lack of self-awareness and then an insincerity about self-awareness.
Wow. And and maybe some of that too is like age. Like I'm 32.
I
like,
think there's a maturity level to it that you have self-awareness or you're just introspective a little bit more.
Yeah.
And yeah, it could be complete immaturity. Who knows? But that's the scary thing is what if it's not?
Like, what if it's not? Yeah. But like, I've heard, read somewhere, the female brain, I think both brains don't fully develop until 25. Like, I don't know about you, but I did so much dumb shit pre-25. And I feel like I'm so glad that I didn't get success when I was like 19.
Oh, same.
Because I would have been a fucking nightmare.
That's the same. I feel the same way about just making videos. If my first video went viral, I would be a lunatic. I'd probably be really sad now. But even though then every day that I was making a video in the back of my mind, I was secretly hoping that this would be the day that one goes like really big.
Sure.
So it was a much slower progression, which I think made me more grateful for the audience.
Right.
Rather than like a one and done and then now this obsession with having to maintain that would be so stressful. Also, yeah, I don't think I was at all equipped to be to have success like that at that age.
What was your first viral video?
I never really had a viral video. It was just like kind of a slow growth over time. It's like,
but isn't a viral video like a million plus? A million and
I think in the beginning, viral video was like one video that skyrockets to something.
Okay,
I had kind of like continuous growth, but no, like one that went nuts and then everything else kind of lingering.
Yeah,
because it was really like just kind of.
Wow.
Slow growth, consistency, because it was like people expected 5 videos a week and then it slowly started to spread.
Totally.
And I didn't spend a lot of time like reflecting on the numbers at
That's
all.
Amazing.
Which was nice. But like that's what I think is so kind of impressive about Jenna Marbles, to have like such a viral video at the beginning of the internet, and she's been able to maintain that for like almost 10 years, which is crazy.
Wow.
That's really hard to do.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Because she's like a naturally funny person. So it's like, it feels.
And she was like working as like a club dancer at the time. And so it's like a video that accidentally went viral. And then it was like, oh, and then she consistently made more videos that were as interesting and as like creative.
Yeah.
And has done that over and over and over, which is great. I think she's just like really true to what she finds funny and doesn't try to like do the trends, and if she does, she puts a really unique spin on it, which I really respect.
That's really cool.
Yeah,
and she's authentic, and isn't that like such a huge thing, is just like being like, there's no other Grace Helbigs, like you're just like a one-off, as you would say. I say like English shit now, like we don't say one-off here. Right.
Yeah, what
I have me exactly I have to like check myself because I say English phrases all the time because of you.
Means like
a one-off, like there's no one like you. You know, it's like there's probably people who have tried to be like you, but they wouldn't really succeed. You're just
and Jenna's exactly herself.
Yeah.
And you can tell, and you can tell when a lot of people try to emulate her personality, and that's kind of like the cool part of her success, is that she's always stayed true to like the person she is, even when she's posted videos of being like, I'm going through a weird time and I'm sad, so here's the video this week, sorry guys. Like, even just that is enough for people to be like, oh, that was authentic. Like, she doesn't owe us exactly what's going on in her life. Like,
and
this
do you do that too, like if you're going through shit, like will you let people know?
Not really. That's always been something that I've been really protective over.
Right.
Because then I don't, the same with like kind of gathering accolades and like praise from people, I don't want to gather like sympathy and then open myself up in this way of being very public about my feelings, and then people feeling like I owed them that. I don't want the people that watch my videos to be my therapist.
Wow, I love that. And by like saying that, you're opening up the door for them to be like, hey, I know what to do.
Yeah, that and
Grace.
Like, it also, I'm just naturally an introvert, private person.
Yeah.
And so I think I would feel way too vulnerable. It'd make me like too uncomfortable. There's a lot of people I watch that are really amazing about opening up. Like the Gabby show is like, puts
yeah,
it all out there.
Yeah.
And I give her credit for that. It's just not something I want to do. I think it'd drive me crazy.
Right.
I've always had this philosophy that my channel is comedy first, then anything about my life, like second or third even.
Wow.
And because I didn't want to make a reality show, you know?
Right.
And I think a lot of people get stuck doing that. Like with vlogging for, you yeah, know, that amount of time, you can get stuck in that hamster wheel of being like, this is all they want now is to see my life.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, shit.
And I don't want to show that all the time.
And not every day is funny.
Yeah, exactly.
I woke
yeah,
up and I was like, fuck, I'm not funny today.
Yeah,
and like,
that's so stressful.
Right? But I still have to film.
Yeah.
And so
yeah,
this, and what am I doing?
Right. Yeah.
Because like you said, like comedy first,
mm-hmm,
like that is very much like my objective at the end of the day is like to make people laugh.
Yeah.
And so am I doing that? And
yeah,
if not, why is it going up?
Yeah. And then you watch, yeah, yeah, you can see people's kind of obsessions with like, a lot of times when people do reveal like trauma or things in their lives, obviously
yeah,
it gets a lot of views. People like to watch
right,
people struggle a lot of times
right,
or succeed, you know, good or bad.
Right.
But then you can get so caught up in that now, having to figure out how to one up yourself in that and constantly
yeah,
provide that, which I think is not healthy.
Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah.
Hence like the extreme example of like the suicide forest.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like that's going to, this is going to grab people.
Yeah. It's
yeah,
pretty nuts. So yeah, I try to find a healthy balance in maintaining my crises offline. It's
I
like,
love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, I think it's just something I personally use as a philosophy for myself, but I know other people that are thriving by like Colleen Ballinger is an amazing example of someone that's really
yeah,
put
oh,
herself,
does she put it all out?
She does.
Yeah,
I've,
she did
I've
with her divorce,
her,
right?
Yeah,
wasn't that all very...
And the show getting canceled.
And the show
oh,
and
yes,
her pregnancy now, and she's engaged now, and
oh,
it's, she's done an a bonkers job of like really showing a lot of her life. Obviously she probably has, you know, private things that aren't shared with the internet, but that's to go through a whole relationship publicly online
mm,
to marry someone and have a video of the wedding
yeah,
online.
Oh
there
wow.
Was,
yeah.
Oh wow.
To have the engagement put up online.
Wow. Oh wow.
Like people lived and died for that relationship and it didn't work out. And then feeling like you have this audience that you're letting down in a way, like,
wow,
that's a really tough scenario to be in. But I know for her, she has such a strong relationship with her audience that she would feel worse not sharing
right,
some of the hardships that
right,
she's going through.
Right.
And so, yeah, she's a person that does it really well. I don't think I could do that. I think I would really, really struggle and stress out and not feel
mm-hmm,
and feel too exposed. I
yeah,
think.
And nor do you have to do that.
Yeah.
It's like every content creator is different and
totally,
like you know what's good for you and
yeah,
like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think Liza Koshy does a good job too of like she had a really public breakup with David Dobrik.
Yes.
But other than that, her content is always comedy driven. Like people
yeah,
knew that they were dating based on like, you know, their stories and things
yeah,
like that and them hanging out. But I think she's done
do you
it
notice
really-
though that like every single post of his on Instagram he's smiling? Have you noticed that?
Oh,
I don't know.
I have recently.
It's you just always.
Oh, in general, yeah.
Just in general, it's just always
the same
a smile.
Smile with,
like, always
tongue between
a smile.
The teeth, like
just every single one.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah.
Really, I don't like really watch his shit, but like, no, nothing against him. I just don't. But
yeah,
like every fucking one,
yeah,
you're so smiley.
Fully grinning.
I've never seen a picture of him not smiling.
Yeah, he's like a Cheshire cat.
Yeah.
Who knows how authentic that is, but he's doing it. I think half of it is funny to him, maybe.
Maybe. Yeah, right. I'd love to know what's behind that. But like my
yeah,
one interaction with him, like my cousin like could give a shit about me, my 13-year-old cousin,
yeah,
but like
yeah, yeah,
she's obsessed
oh, yeah,
with him and like met him at VidCon and he made this whole video for her and she was
oh,
like
was
losing
nice,
her shit.
Yeah.
So like he's super but like
yeah,
the smile.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts. It's pretty nuts.
But yeah, they did like a post, right? They each posted like
yeah,
that they were breaking up.
I never
up,
even watched them, but I saw enough like
or
screen
like a,
grabs of them very
yeah,
genuinely crying,
yeah,
like
oh,
weeping. They're like both sobbing.
Oh, in the yeah, video?
In the video.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
okay.
I heard that
see,
it was
but then part
tough,
of that, like I'm sorry, but like you're kind of doing that for the views though, are you?
Yeah.
Or do you really feel that your audience deserves to see that? And if so, why? Well,
right. I think it's interesting because they're really close friends since I think they had broken up, from what I understood from other people that watched it, like 6 months earlier.
That's right.
And then they, and then they decided to like let people know because I guess they were getting a lot of questions about like, why don't you guys hang out? Which
I see.
You know, from people like Colleen, that gets so overwhelming, the people that you've shared your life with that now feel like you owe them stuff that you... Sometimes it's easier to diffuse this by just telling everyone.
I see.
And they maintain a really close friendship. So I think in some ways it's really healthy for like their young audience to see this kind of respectful breakup happen.
Yeah.
And like two people that are still really successful creatively without like compromising or like shitting on each other in any way or like undermining.
Like the Jake Paul breakup with what's her name was like the epitome of like abuse and like...
Yeah. Oh my God.
Oh, yeah.
And Alyssa. Like like that was like the opposite. Like Liza Koshy and him are like the like what you aspire to be. Yeah. They're like the fucking like
mature and respectful.
Mature, respectful, like kind, good people, just, always like, smiling.
Very
but like
successful.
Right. Yeah. But like good influence.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Good influence. They're and Liza's so hysterical.
Yeah,
like
she is really funny.
I like personally like a little more edge. Like I wanna see that you don't quite have your shit together sometimes.
Same.
Like for me personally, because
I know she's like super family friendly, but sometimes I'm like, just show me an off day.
Just show me an off day a little bit. Like a little bit.
That's
just a little bit.
When I first started like a year or so ago, like really diving into her channel, I would get so mad because like, this is so good. She's so like smart. I can't come up with shit right now.
Those
and she's
puns.
Just doing effortless. And I was like, this is a lot of work put into one video a week.
And you're like 19 and just
so like bright-eyed bushy-tailed that like works her ass off or isn't just like handed it, that I'm like, oh, I gotta give credit where credit is due. This
totally.
Is a really, really inspiring person right now. And you're so young. Good for you.
Yeah,
she's one of those people that I'm like, yay, she reflects very positively on this platform that I think
totally.
Can get a lot of heat.
Yeah.
No, for sure. But like, say fuck like once.
Yeah.
Like, say fuck. Like, just say fuck though.
I know.
Just like, say fuck.
I know.
But like that, you know, but that's just me wanting to see flaws in people to relate.
Oh,
and like,
to feel like I
can connect to you more.
I'm the person that left the most beautiful movie, the Mr. Rogers movie, and was like, I wanted to see some crisis in his life. It was like the most inspiring Mr. Rogers Neighborhood. It's the greatest movie.
It's so good.
It brought tears to my eyes.
I want to see it so bad. Everyone said they cried so hard. We have to see this.
You have to see it. It's so good. And I was like leaving and I was like, but I still just wanted to see like if there was some trauma or something fucked up that like made him want to be so good.
Right.
And my boyfriend was like, just enjoy it. Just enjoy it.
Yeah, it's like when we watched the Tom Petty documentary and like we were so mad that they didn't mention the heroin addiction.
Oh, yeah. That was
like, that's obviously very extreme,
but still you're like, this is part of their
life. It's part of your life.
Yeah.
Totally. But that's what I love about you. Like the brilliance of you is like, you're so beautiful and funny and original, but like also self-deprecating and like that's the best.
Yeah,
that
I mean,
you can just
like
embrace that. Like it's amazing.
Thanks. I was really obsessed with all those beauty gurus when that started like taking off in YouTube as a genre, and I'd be like fascinated, like glued to my computer at night, just watching like how they curate their lives. And I was like, I can't. I try to do like genuinely behind closed doors, try to operate in a manner that like seems dignified, and it just, I can't do it. And so I'm just fascinated by people that present themselves in such a put together way.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, you use this many face creams? Oh my God.
Dude.
I have one that I got from the 99 cent store.
Like, I've tried.
It's nuts.
Like I just ordered like a bunch of like glycolic acid.
How many things?
I don't even know how to use it. I'm scared to use it. I'm scared my face is going to burn off. I'm really scared my face.
Never
gonna burn
so
off.
Boxes.
I thought, well, I got a facial, which I never do, and she's just like, "This, your skin is rough. It's going to take a lot of work. Glycolic acid, a serum for this, blah blah." Like going on, and I'm trying to go, "Okay, get it together, Laura. You can do this."
No,
like,
I've done
girl.
The same thing where I've just like binge ordered like crazy, and then things show up, and I'm just like,
"Never.
I don't know how to use it. But having them makes me already feel like I'm a little bit more.
Do you
capable.
Ever go like, this shit's not gonna work? Do you have that thought? Because I'm always like, this this isn't gonna do anything. Oh, it's a lie. It's, you just want my money, but like, no, but it might work.
Get it.
Yeah, me too. No, me too.
I have like two boxes I just found the other day that I got rid of like this at home like laser hair removal thing that I bought like
Stop
years
it.
Ago.
You can get
like,
that.
Yeah, but Does I didn't. It work? I was too scared of the machine oh that God. I didn't use it. I like, opened it once and was like, one day I'll be confident enough to try this. And like 2 years later, found it like at the bottom of my closet. I was like, I have to throw this away now. Like I can't use this.
Because like if it was safe and worked, wouldn't everyone be doing it?
I saw one beauty guru recommended this one product. Really? And I was watching it late enough at night that I was like, I'm going to get that. This is probably a sneaky brand deal and she doesn't give a shit about this, but I'm going to try it.
Wow.
And see
but
what
you
happens.
Fell for that shit.
All the time.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. The internet, what a place.
Dude, well, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks
like,
for having
this
me.
This was such a fun
Absolutely
conversation.
Amazing.
I was very excited about it.
No, same. Yeah.
And we really do, like, don't be LA about this. Like, we have to get coffee, like, for real.
If I'm ever on this side
we'll
of town.
See. Do you want to just Skype?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll just make coffee from home and
just
Skype.
And just Skype.
It.
Yeah, that's more realistic. Yeah, but, like, no, if you're ever in the Valley, hit me up.
Definitely.
And I'll do the same thing with the East, I was going to say East Coast, East Side.
That too, I might be over
like
there. It's practically how far away it is.
Yeah.
Thanks guys for watching the episode. If you haven't subscribed, listening to the episode. If you haven't subscribed, go to iTunes, comment, go leave a comment. Tell Steven he has a 5-star ball sack. Just literally, because you guys all wrote that he had a 5-star bum hole. And we're getting so many reviews on iTunes saying Stephen Hilton has a 5-star bum hole. And it makes me so happy. I cannot tell you. So now I think we should move on to the scrotum. So just either 5-star taint or 5-star ball sack. I'll let you guys decide. But please, please go and leave that comment. It would mean so much to me. And love you guys. And also, you know, Spotify, Google Play, you can get it all over. All right. It's fucking December, man. It's Christmas time. Hanukkah time. Sorry about the noise. There's construction going on everywhere. We're going fucking crazy. Also, I'm showing. So much to talk about. Okay. Talk soon. Yay.